Do you ever crash after Christmas or even before Christmas? I definitely suffer from the Christmas crash, but we're going to talk about that today and ways to make sure that we don't get burnt out. Hey, Clutterbugs, welcome back to the Clutterbug podcast. I'm just going to be honest with you. Christmas stresses me out. It really does. And I love this time of year. It's my favorite holiday. I love all the memory-making moments. I love the coziness. I love the decorating. I love getting together with loved ones. I love even giving gifts. Of course, I love receiving gifts. I really do. But I get something called the Christmas crash. Usually this happens like right after Christmas and the week between Christmas and New Year's. Instead of me being excited about the new year and like, oh, all the possibilities to come and all the cool things I want to do, I feel like I struggle just to get out of bed. And I don't think it's like that depression that comes after something really cool, which I've felt before. You have your wedding or you go on vacation or you have a baby, you have like this really cool moment and there's kind of a letdown after. That's not what I'm feeling. I think what I'm feeling is something really close to burnout, because in my life, and I think you can probably relate, we're already very busy. There's already a lot of balls that we're juggling and things going on a regular basis. And then during the holidays, we are adding on shopping for people and wrapping gifts, and we're cooking more than ever. We're baking because it's like we feel this pressure. We're entertaining. We're either having people to our house or we're going to other people's houses or vice versa. We want to look festive. I always try to plan a bunch of different activities during this time of year, whether we're, I don't know, just like driving around and looking at Christmas lights or watching Christmas movies as a family. There is a lot of pressure to make this awesome. For my family, for myself, I think like society puts pressure on us. And yeah, this year I'm like, oh, I'm behind. I haven't sent out my Christmas cards yet. There's just like, ugh, you know what I'm saying? And I think even if we do have really good boundaries, and I'm working really hard on this to say no to a lot of things and trying to simplify the holidays, at the end of the day, it's more work. It just is. There's no way around it. We're decorating the house. We're putting up the tree. There is more work this time of year than any other time of year. And it's rushed and it's hectic and the stores are full and we still have to buy for people. And I already do enough. And yeah, so how do we avoid the Christmas crash? I think for me, and I've talked about this in the past and years, and I think for you and for all of us, the solution is really to simplify the holidays and go back to this less pressure, what is the season really about kind of thing. And social media is making that complicated, because I love TikTok and I love Instagram and I love going on YouTube. And I'm always looking up holiday ideas and I see these perfect homes and these perfect people doing like amazeballs things. They're baking all these fancy cookies and they're making gingerbread houses that look perfect. Their house looks like something out of a crazy Hallmark movie. They have life-size giant, I don't know, in their front yard, like not even life-size, non-life-size candy canes, like the 6 feet tall, and everything just looks like, I don't know, looks like the house in Hansel and Gretel. You know what I'm saying? Oh, I forgot even that. Putting outdoor Christmas lights up. That's another thing we have to find time for. What the deuce, friends? What the diggity deuce? There's a lot to do. And we all want less to do. That's the issue here. We all want less work and less to-dos and less pressure. We're over here trying to simplify life because holy Hannah, all these modern technologies and like robot vacuums and things that are supposed to make our life easier. And yet, why are we feeling so busy? why is this generation more than any other generation more stressed and feeling like they're more overworked than any other generation? We're not going to unpack that, but I am going to share some ways that we can simplify this Christmas without feeling like we're going without, because we still want all the good stuff. We just don't want to get the Christmas crash. So basically, there's three things that we can do. We can buy less, we can do less, and we can expect less. And the buy less, there's a couple ways that we can buy less this Christmas. The first thing is we can just literally contact people that we usually buy for and see if they want to opt out. And I've talked about this before too, but years ago, my sister actually contacted me. I used to buy for my sister and her husband, Devin, and their three kids, and they would buy for us. And she contacted me and said, what if we don't get each other gifts and we just do something as a family instead? Like our whole family go to the movies together, or we go bowling together. Like we spend time together without getting each other gifts. This was the greatest thing, because immediately that's five less people I have to buy for. And on top of that, we're doing something so much cooler. Now we have this tradition where we do something as a family in the new year with both of our families. And I kind of took that. It was totally my sister's idea. And I contacted Joe's sister-in-law and Joe, like my sister-in-law, Joe's sister. And we did the same thing with their family and just tried to contact other people and say, hey, what if we just don't buy for each other this year? And everybody was like, heck yeah. Like they didn't want to buy for me either. And we're just doing this out of obligation. So I'm not saying everybody on your list is going to be for this, but I promise you there are more people than you think that are going to be all over this. And we still do like a Secret Santa gift exchange at our families where everybody brings like one small thing. It's like under $10 and we wrap it. And then we kind of like fight over it. We put all the gifts in the middle and everybody opens one. And then we take turns. The next person gets to either steal that one. I guess it isn't Secret Santa. It's like steal a gift. They either can wrap and unwrap another one from the circle, or they can steal a gift. And if they steal a gift, then that person has the choice to steal a gift or unwrap. But every gift can only be stolen a maximum of three times. And it's complicated, but it's actually really, really fun. And it takes a lot of the pressure off. So the other thing that we can do to buy less is, honestly, we can just give gift cards. Just saying, giving cash. I have this thing that I've been doing for my brother the last few years. It's a Kleenex box. And then we have plastic money here in Canada, so it doesn't rip. So I can tape it together and put it in the box and just give him cash, but he has something to actually unwrap. So that's a really cool idea. Event tickets. Concerts are expensive, but like tickets to, I don't know, a play or a show, the movie theaters. Maybe if you have a couple, you can get them a gift card to a restaurant with a gift certificate to babysit their kids that night. So you're giving them a date night. There's all these like ways of doing little things for other people and giving them a gift still without having to fight the people at the store and buy a physical gift. It's way faster to do these things. And of course, shopping online also just saves you a ton of time. So I don't know. I think if we think outside the box of ways to simplify gift giving, it's really, really helpful. Or finding a great gift and then getting like a bunch of people on your list this great gift. There's ways that we can take some of the pressure off of us for sure and just buy less. Buy less. Okay, let's talk about doing less. This is something I'm working on because I want my Christmas to be so freaking magical every year for my children, even though they're teenagers and they really don't seem to care. We do like reminisce of all the little special traditions over the years. And I'm like, I don't want to let those die. So we bake cookies, we decorate cookies, we do gingerbread houses, but like ugly gingerbread houses. We drive around and look at things. We have a ton of parties that we go to for extended family and friends and family. We do these little things where we buy gifts for neighbors and drop them off at the doorstep as like a secret elf. We call them elfing our neighbors. We do like just all this crap. I'm just saying, like, it's nice, but it's what? It's so much. I don't want to do it this year. I don't want to do that much. I'm sorry, neighbors. We moved to a new house. They're not going to expect it. The neighbors thing is going. I'm not doing that this year. Instead, I'm going to just make a donation to the like Salvation Army that buys gifts for kids. I feel just as good, but it's no work for me. I think I'm going to skip baking the cookies this year. My grocery store has sugar cookies that are already baked and not decorated. I know this seems like cheating, but I'm just going to buy cookies and we're just going to get some of the squeezy, you know, icing and sprinkles we already have and just decorate cookies while listening to music, but skip the whole baking part. I'm not great at baking to begin with, but that is so time consuming and it makes like a huge gigantic mess. So skipping it this year. I'm also going to say no to some parties. I know this sounds really bad, but they're back to back to back every weekend. And everybody wants to get together around the holidays. I'm like, why can't we see you in the new year when things are less hectic? Why do we have to cram every show, everybody we love them and visit every single person we know in like a 4 freaking day window? It's exhausting and it's too much. And I want to do less. I don't even know if we're going to put outdoor lights on the house this year. And that's okay too. And I think what I wanted to say in this podcast is just, I know it always seems like I'm complaining about my life, but I want to give you permission to do less too, because there's a lot of pressure to be awesome in every area of our lives at all time. There's so much pressure to go above and beyond all the time in every area of our life. But this is impossible. This is not realistic. Social media is fake. There's no way that there are people doing it all the time, always perfect. And I think that puts a lot of expectations on us, which is the last thing that we can do, the expect less, which is stop looking at social media as inspiration and look at it for what it really is, which is just fake. Fake pretty things. It's not real. There's no such thing as a perfect Christmas. There just isn't. Hallmark movies are fake too. The big business exec isn't going to go home to a small town and fall in love with this, the love of her life who happens to own a Christmas tree farm and everything's going to work out. Man, like that, there's just so much pressure. Everywhere we look during the holidays, there's so much pressure, but there's so many expectations of what Christmas is supposed to look like and what a good mother, good wife, good friend, good daughter does during the holidays. So many expectations. So what if we just lower our expectations this year? What if we give ourselves permission to suck a little bit at Christmas and it not to be even close to perfect? And if we lower our expectations, we're going to be so grateful for what we do have instead of it never being enough. Of us working ourselves to the bone and still feeling like we never hit the goalpost, because the goalpost isn't real. It's this make-believe fantasy thing that people are faking to put together for likes and for follows and for, it's time to be really honest. That we're okay with just a little tree and spending time with our family and a couple of gifts to show that we love each other. And that's all we need. A good meal, good friends. That's all we need. We don't need any of the extra fluff because it's just making us miserable. I'd like to take a second to thank today's podcast sponsor, Aura Frames. I'm obsessed with my Aura Frames. I now have two of them in the house, and they are digital picture frames that I can upload any photo from anywhere instantly from the app, either on the computer or my phone, to my gorgeous frame. But I also think this makes the best gift. I've given them to all my grandparents. My mom, my mother-in-law, my stepmom has one. It's the gift that the whole family will enjoy, and you can preload it with gorgeous photos, and you don't have to open the box. Right now, from now through Black Friday and Cyber Monday, visit AuraFrames.com and get $40 off their best-selling Carver matte frame with the code CLUTTERBUG. This is the best deal of the year. So right now, go to Aura, AuraFrames.com with the promo code CLUTTERBUG. Terms and conditions apply. I was talking to a friend recently about actually this podcast, and I was like, I get so stressed about the holidays. And she was asking why. And a big part of the thing that stresses me out, I think this is because I'm not really a people person per se, but I find a lot of these parties and family gatherings to be triggers for me. And she was like, give me an example. And I said, okay, I go to my mom's for Boxing Day. So we wake up early Boxing Day and we go to my mom's, but then Boxing Day afternoon, we go to my dad's. So we only have a really short amount of time, and we eat breakfast with my mom and then have like a light lunch, and we open gifts. And then I race over to my dad's so that we can open gifts with him and do dinner over there. And as you guys know, I had weight loss surgery a couple of years ago, and I actually feel really sick if I overeat. And it's the holidays, and that's what people do. We overeat. So I try to be really mindful to not eat too much during the holidays. And I think one of my big issues is when I'm at my mom's, she's really trying to push food on me, and she'll like heap more food on my plate and give me this huge, incredible breakfast. But she feels really disrespected if I don't eat everything, pancakes and try the waffles and the bacon and the female bacon and the ham and the eggs and the toast and the hash browns. She wants me to eat all of it because she's worked so hard to make it. And she's really offended if I don't take big portions, even though she knows that I've had weight loss surgery and that I feel really ill if I overstuff myself. And so I find myself just repeating like, oh, I'm full. This is enough. It was amazing. It was so good. And then she'll bring me like a piece of pecan pie with tons of whipped cream, even though I'm so full and I didn't ask for it. And when I say, oh, I couldn't possibly, she gets upset if I don't want to eat it. And this causes me stress, and I'm snippy with her then. And I feel disrespected because she knows this is going to make me ill and physically in pain. But she feels disrespected because this is how she loves me. And this is what my friend said to me. She's like, well, that's her love language. It's obviously acts of service. And so you see it as disrespect, but she sees it as showing you affection and showing you that she loves you. And this was like a light bulb moment for me, realizing that love languages, and if you've never heard of this, there are 5 love languages, and I'm going to put a link to a free quiz that you can take in the description. It's really fascinating. But your love language is how you like to show affection and show love to others, and also how you like to receive affection from others. And what was really fascinating when I was thinking about this, about the holidays, I realized, yeah, this is how my mom shows me she loves me. And I instantly felt less angry. And I know in the moment now, when I'm at her house and she's pushing food on me and drinks on me, and not just me, but everybody else, that this is not anything personal. And this is literally just her showing love, because her love language is acts of service, which then led me to thinking about the stressful situation at my dad's. When we go to my dad's later, he loves to debate, and he loves to kind of bring up controversial things like politics or just anything, so that he can really debate and throw facts. And I kind of feel like it's confrontational and it's stressful, but I realize his love language is words of affirmation. He's showing us how smart he is. And he wants us to say, wow, Dad, you are so smart and you are right. And you know, so many amazing things. He just is looking for words of affirmation, but he's going about it in this really weird way of like trying to start a fight, I guess, so that he can end up being right and being told he's smart and good, when we can just skip all that and I can give him words of affirmation. And again, like, wow, this immediately takes a very stressful situation that happens every holiday season. And now I'm going into it prepared. And I can diffuse that by just giving him what he really wants, which is his love language. And the same thing with my mother-in-law. Listen, I'm just going to say, her love language is physical touch. And my love language is gifts. Give me gifts. But physical touch is zero for me. I personally don't like to be touched. That's just my thing. But she loves to give hugs. She also likes to go up behind people and start giving them back massages and rubbing their shoulders and rubbing their back while you're standing and having a conversation. So, or sitting at the dinner table you're eating, or opening a gift, she'll come up behind you and she'll just start giving you a back massage. And that's always been what she's done. But I, before I go to her house, I find myself getting like, you know, a little stressed about the fact that I know she's just going to start touching and rubbing me. And I don't like that. And, but now knowing that that's her love language and that's how she's showing, it's not that I have to lower my boundaries and let her touch me, but I can realize that this is just how she's showing love. And instead I can, you know, hold her hand, or I can sit close to her, physically really close to her. So again, I can give her and let her give me physical touch without it actually being like a rubbing in a way that makes me uncomfortable. And this again diffuses that situation. So I wanted to just quickly bring this up in the podcast today, because I think this can be really helpful for you during the holidays as well, not just to help diffuse any stressful situations, but also we give gifts during the holidays. So having an understanding of the love languages can be helpful in your gift giving and your gift receiving as well. So let's break them down. The first love language is words of affirmations. So what this means is people love giving compliments and just sweet messages. They love to feel appreciated and to tell others that they appreciate them. So if you know that somebody has this as a love language, you can give them a sweet note, a card, like world's best dad, you know, mug or something, or just don't hold back on the heartfelt messages of love, like compliment the people whose words of affirmation is their love language. The next is acts of service. And again, this is my mom, which is why she loves cooking for us and doing things for us. And people with acts of service, it's like actions speak louder than words. So I can tell my mom she's an amazing cook and that she's great, but it's the act of eating it and enjoying it that kind of validates that for her. So, but what can I do to show her I love her with an act of service? I can help her clean out her garage, or Joe fixed her toilet a couple of weeks ago and all she talks about is how amazing Joe is, you know, because he did an act of service for her. And that's how she likes to receive and give love. So it helps me in thinking of a great gift that I can give her this holiday season is going to be something I can do for her. Receiving gifts, a little token. I mean, that's my love language. Give me a gift. Give me all the gifts. So that one's pretty easy during the holiday season. Quality time, just spending time with someone. So instead of a gift, you know, their gift, like a physical gift, a gift can be that you're going to the movies with them, or you're going out to dinner with them, just the two of you, or something really sweet like that. And then the last is physical touch. So cuddles, hand holding. Again, somebody who likes physical touch, you can give them a massage therapy gift certificate for the holidays. It's fascinating to know that just like everybody doesn't organize the same way, everybody doesn't show love the same way. And having more awareness about this for yourself and your own love language and your loved one's love language, and just being aware of these in general, like as you're thinking of this, maybe you can pinpoint some people in your lives and how they like to receive love and give love. It can help really just make the holidays less stressful. It's one little tool that we can have in our toolbox to get through this stressful time a little bit easier. So again, I'm going to put the quiz in the show notes in the description of this podcast so that you can take the quiz and maybe talk about this with your loved ones, your kids, your husband, and it can make giving gifts this season a lot easier and a lot more special, a lot more intentional, that will be appreciated more if you know how they like to receive the love and affection from you. Okay. Thank you guys so much. It was a quick one today, but I'll see you guys next time.